Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up? Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 57. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude!
Dude, how's it going?
Dude, you know, it's good. I feel like, we were just here.
We were just here, and good thing we're back so quickly because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Sharks made a big move today.
They did?
No, dude. I've been waiting to say that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, anytime we can talk about Radim Vrbata,
yeah,
I'm always game.
It's a good day. It's a good day when you can talk about Radim Vrbata. So, what'd you have for lunch?
Dude, I had a delicious turkey and cranberry on a croissant. Thank you for asking, dude. What'd you have for lunch?
I went to Sonoma Chicken Coop. I'm glad we're filling time here because there's frankly nothing.
Actually, you know what? I think we got a lot to talk about.
Okay.
We had a great article come out in the Mercury News this week that I know that we blogged about. Got a lot of things that came up on the blog. As far as a very active comment thread on all the posts this week.
Yeah.
With a lot of issues to kind of weigh in on. And we've got a new segment.
Yes, we do. Which you will hear later in the show.
That's right.
Don't want to give it away. But
so where shall we start?
Let's start with the article.
Okay.
That was quite the generator of controversy.
Sure.
A lot of people had a lot of...
It was a little bit of an underwhelming title.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like the title was something... GM says, have patience. And then there's like three really interesting pieces of information in the article, none of which have anything to do about GMs or patience.
Yeah, it was hidden nuggets of information.
Yeah. Hey, copywriter, or it's not Mark Emmons' fault because he doesn't write the titles, but whoever the copy editor was, better title next time.
Yeah, we know you're listening.
Yeah, because they all listen to the podcast. Yeah. But so Patrick Marleau may not be the captain next year. Do you think that's a done deal? You think that means that that's done?
Well, what did it say in the article for people who didn't read it?
It said that Patrick Marleau said that he talked to Doug Wilson about possibly giving up the captaincy next year, and he said he would do whatever it took to take the team to the next level. So he said that situation was broached. He didn't say that they agreed or decided upon anything, but I don't know. It sounds like that's...
You know what, dude? I'm thinking that maybe we need to improve the podcast, so I'm thinking that it's possible that maybe I might not ask you to do the podcast next week.
Right.
It's possible, maybe.
If it's best for the
podcast. I might ask you to not talk on the podcast next week.
Dude, if that's what's best for the podcast, that pretty much means I'm not on the podcast next week, doesn't it?
Basically.
Yeah. Crap.
I don't know. I think it's that little bit of information made me feel like it's done deal.
Yeah.
Either A, Marlowe's not on the team next year,
mm-hmm,
or B, he is and he's not captain. And that's already been decided. And it's been like, look, Patty, we're not sure what's going on right now. A lot of moves are yet to come. And if you are still here, then, I hope you're getting used to Hail Captain Danny Boyle.
Yeah, exactly. They probably just, you don't want to announce it now. It seems too early. It seems like a knee-jerk reaction, but it certainly seems like that's where the movement is heading towards.
Right? Well, you got to think that's what's happened here. And, I think we've both kind of, it's felt like that maybe the captaincy is a little bit overrated. But then on some hand, part of me is like, maybe there needs to be a full new leaf turned over here.
Mm-hmm.
Which then we would expect there to be some roster turnover too, which we haven't completely seen yet.
Well, we've seen guys leave. We just haven't seen guys come back.
Right.
Other guys come.
Sure.
So you were talking on the thread about Patrick Sharp. I know that there was certainly some controversy about the worth and interest of Patrick Sharp, who is a centerman and a winger for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. Well, this was something that came up and it was kind of spurned by... some hockey rumor sites that shall not be named, but also
again,
this was in print and in a Chicago newspaper that they were talking about that Patrick Sharp is likely going to be the guy who, the two bald headed Bowmans are going to move.
Right.
Which makes sense in a way for them that, he's probably the guy that is going to be the odd man out if they've chosen to go with Versteeg, which is a whole nother question as I'm looking into these Versteeg and Barker signings, how really, truly bad they are. Not that they're bad players. I'm not saying they're bad players. I'm saying the signings are bad, but we're not at that yet. Dude, I was saying, listen, it would have to involve a third team because the Blackhawks have no use for taking on Mahalik's contract. They're not going to be interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you could move Mahalik for Patrick Sharp, would you do that?
Right. And some people said yes, and some people said
no.
Hell no.
Yeah. And I can see the no side of it, but this was my side of the argument. Is, you know, okay, Mahalik and Sharp both play the kill. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dude, I mean, honestly, if you had asked me who our top four penalty killers are, I never would have said Mahalik.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know looking at the numbers, he played top four penalty killing minutes, but I never think of him as being a top flight penalty killer. He has zero shorthanded goals. Zero right. in his career.
Yeah.
None. Patrick Sharp has 11.
Yeah.
And he had 7 2 years ago when he was playing the kill a lot. Now, last year, he didn't play the kill a lot. Now, I don't know. You know, our friend Mr. Plank over at Fear the Finn brought up the point that maybe, you know, he fell out of the graces of Coach Q over in Chicago. I don't know why he didn't play as much last year, injury or coaching. But Sharp provides flexibility. He can center. He can play the wing. He's a god on the power play. He has 20 power play goals in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's money. He seems to always score an important goal. And he plays well in the playoffs. He was their, I think, fourth or fifth leading scorer in the playoffs last year. He had, you know, 14 points in 19 games or something like that. I'm going to have to check that because now someone's going to bust my ass. I'm being wrong.
I know, because everything you say, dude, someone fact checks you. We need a stat boy.
I know, dude. We do. We need a stat boy. But I just think Sharp is a better all-around player, dude, and having him on the team would allow that if someone got hurt, he could slide into center and Marlowe wouldn't have to do that, dude. What's your take?
I like Patrick Sharp as a player. I definitely do.
11 points in 17 playoff games.
11 and 17. Okay.
Sorry.
So that's not quite 14 and 19, but it's close enough.
But
Mahalik is, he produces more points than Patrick Sharp.
Sure.
Overall.
He's more dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a more dynamic, more exciting player, but he doesn't produce as well on the power play. He doesn't produce as well on the kill and he doesn't provide the roster flexibility. And he was just a disappointment at the end last year.
And the other thing about Mahalik, which is unlike Patrick Sharp, is that Patrick Sharp, I believe, is 27 or 28. 27, soon to be 28. What's Mahalik, 23, 24? Mahalik has more potential there. I know somebody made that point on the blog as well, which shouldn't be understated. Or this could be a, not to bring him down to this level, but this could be a Steve Bernier situation where you ditch the guy before he truly doesn't live up to expectations, because you can't say Mahalik has lived up to expectations. Worthy a ninth overall pick. He's a second line guy that has never reached his potential. You know, it's funny. You're in the Sharks, you know, all the time, and I think you tend to underrate guys. Like, I think a lot of Sharks fans in general tend to underrate Patrick Marleau, and I think they tend to underrate Milan Mahalik as a player, but we overrate certain players too. I think maybe we overrate Joe Thornton. We might overrate some other guys.
Sure.
But Mahalik, you know, the thing about Mahalik is if he gets better, if he goes someplace else and he gets better, then the Sharks are going to look really
stupid.
Yeah,
if he turns into Marian Gaborik, we're going to feel like idiots.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But dude, the thing is this, if Mahalik is still on the team next year, I'm going to be fine with that. You know, I think we need to see some growth out of him. I identify him as a player that if we're at the point where we're looking to take steps forward and not tread water, that is he just keeping us in neutral because he isn't improving.
Right.
His game has, you know, leveled off. And you know, management knows that better than we do. Whereas a player like Patrick Sharp might be able to come in, provide a little bit of a different elements of gameplay to the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Be a better fit as far as moving forward. So that's where I was coming from. Now, there was a comment at the end today where someone was saying, well, Chicago's been vocal about wanting a physical defenseman. Would you trade Doug Murray for Patrick Sharp?
Straight up?
Right.
Hell yeah.
You would?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. I think, well, the money doesn't work out. The money doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out.
If we put the money thing aside, I think it's a no-brainer. The money thing, it makes it a little bit thornier. But, yeah, I mean, it solves the defensive problem, right? So now you have six guys that are signed, so that if you don't have to trade a defenseman in order to figure out what you're doing. The money thing is a real problem. You'd probably have to make another move. You have to get rid of, we talked about how either Chichu or Mihalik wouldn't be on the team. That would certainly become more true than ever. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get, I mean, Doug Murray is probably a number five guy. Let's be honest. He's a good physical guy. I love the way he plays. He's a good guy to have on the team. He's a number five defenseman. Number four, if you're lucky. Number four on a bad team, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe number three on a really bad team. So do you trade a number five defenseman for a number two center? I think you do.
Yeah, I think you do too, especially when you know you have a guy who's not as big who plays this, but plays the same way and more,
mm-hmm.
waiting. You know, he murdered AHL competition with just leveling out hits. And then you've got Nick Petrecki, who's probably at least a year away, but he's going to play that kind of style too.
Right.
So, you know, that might make sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, there'd have to be probably a third team involved in there somewhere to kind of shuffle around some salary. But I don't know, Patrick Sharp, we might just want to keep an eye on that. Or we could be whistling Dixie here, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about Versteeg and Pavelski, and then I want to get back to the article. Because
you took some heat in the comment thread on the dudesonhockey.com site.
Dude, but listen, okay? Going back to these signings, Dale Talon got fired for a reason, okay?
Yeah.
And I think this might be one of them. Versteeg gave $3 million to, and I mean, did he give more than that? I mean, it was
a tiny bit over.
3.06, and then Barker, he gives $3 million to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these guys were restricted, right? They were just coming off their entry-level deals.
Mm-hmm.
So is Jack Johnson.
Right.
An Olympian.
Right.
A U.S. Olympian. Led all of, I think, the Olympic players, or not Olympic, the World Cup players in goals with five or something like that. I think I heard that on the radio the other day. He just signed for like 1.6.
Right.
So you're telling me Cam Barker's worth double? You're telling me that Chris Versteeg is worth double Joe Pavelski?
Yeah.
No.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Now, I'm not saying they're not good players. I'm just saying they wasted money.
Another thing I heard about Dale Talon is, I it might have been a Chicago thing. It might have been on James Myrtle's blog or somewhere. And, you know, this is bad because I don't have a site for it. But I heard somebody say, or I read something that said that that John McDonough didn't like Dale Talon because he was interested in trading for Michael Nylander. If there's one way you want to scuttle your GM career, it's trying to get Michael Nylander.
Dale Talon didn't. He made some good moves. He made some bad moves. Yeah.
But I heard McDonough actually vetoed a Nylander for Khabibulin trade, I think is what it was.
Well, then he's a smart man.
So, and Dale Talon is not smart. So Dale Talon agreed to that deal. So if that's in fact true. If that's in fact true, then yeah, Dale Talon kind of.
Too bad he's not still there so we could fleece him.
Yeah.
Doug Wilson can take him on a fishing trip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, well, he's gone.
He's gone. So, dude, that was my whole point was, you know, and you know the cap, understand the cap more than I do, but, you know, the advantage to having the rights of these players is that, you know, they're only entitled to a certain percentage raise, right? Now, you do run the risk of pissing them off. But, you know, Joe Pavelski had a decent first full year. It wasn't as good as Versteeg's. But that, you know, an 11-point difference doesn't warrant $1.5 million.
100% raise over. Yeah.
No, I think that Chicago really blew it there. And, you know, we still may see them crumble in salary cap hell unless they're able to make some serious moves. Dude.
It's such a tricky situation because every team has to have the right mix of veterans that are earning what basically their market value is. You think of a guy, I mean, let's look at the Penguins, right? They just won the Stanley Cup. So you got Crosby, he's making market rate, he's making $8 million and all this kind of stuff. And then you got to have veterans that aren't making a whole lot of money. You got Kevin Adams and these guys that aren't, you know, Max Talbot, but not making a whole lot of money. And then you got to have young guys that are playing better than the money that they're making. So you got Chris Letang and you got these guys that aren't making a lot of money, and you got to have the right mix of it at the right time. You got to have enough of each of those categories. And it looks like Chicago has, you know, last year they had a great mix of young guys making, not making enough, you know, you got Kane and Taves and Keith, and we talked about this before, but next year they're all going to be in for a huge payday. So all of a sudden the Chicago Blackhawks are going to flip from one extreme to the next. They're going to need five guys that are making huge bucks, which means they can't keep them all.
They're going to have to make some serious choices, which might come on the horizon soon. We might see a player like Sharp. Maybe they might have to ditch Brian Campbell. We'll see, dude. Back to the article.
Yes.
Nabby said he would waive his no trade clause. Dude, what do you think about that?
Well, I wrote on the blog that I don't understand the need for the I don't understand no trade clauses because it never seems to work in the player's favor. It gives the player power to not get traded to Atlanta. I understand that. But it certainly seems like a lot of teams are certainly willing to engage in a PR war against the player and say he's not a team guy. He's not doing what's best for the team. You know, the Healy thing, you think about McCabe, the million guys in Toronto that had no trade clauses that chose to exercise them. And so Nabby said he would get he would be willing to be traded. He didn't want to stick around if he didn't want to be wanted. So I guess that could mean something, but I don't think you trade Nabby right now unless you got a guy that you know can step in.
No, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying it's interesting that he's like, if they don't want me, then I don't want to be here.
I think there's a certain possibility that if the Sharks don't do so well, he could be a trade deadline thing.
Sure.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, dude, I'm just saying, you know, if you look around the league right now, got some, you know, you've got a free agent like Martin Biron just kind of floating around in limbo. This guy, you know, number one goalie for the Flyers last year, playoff team, and he's got no home.
Right.
Who's going to take on a player like Nabby? So we're going to do a little exercise here going, who wants Nabby? All right. You just say simple yes or no.
Who wants Nabby? Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Anaheim.
No.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Boston.
No.
Buffalo.
No.
Carolina.
Nah.
Calgary.
Who's their backup? Nah.
Chicago.
No.
Columbus.
Nah.
Colorado.
Sure. Colorado needs goalies.
Dallas.
Nah.
Detroit.
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jimmy Howard rules.
Edmonton.
No.
Florida.
No.
L.A.
Possibly.
Minnesota.
No.
Montreal.
No.
Nashville. New Jersey.
No.
The Island.
No, not the Island.
Rangers.
No, definitely.
Ottawa.
Not. Nope.
Philly.
No.
Phoenix.
Mm-mm.
Pittsburgh.
Nope.
St. Louis.
Could be.
Tampa.
Could be.
Toronto.
Nah.
Vancouver.
Vancouver. No.
Washington.
Nah.
Probably not. Winnipeg.
Winnipeg definitely needs Hamilton. Absolutely.
So, dude, you didn't have a whole lot of yeses there, dude.
No, I didn't.
So there's not a lot of places that, A, are looking for a number one goalie that make that kind of catch. Cash money.
Yeah.
So, dude, I think, you know, unless there's some sort of big trade involving another goalie coming the other way, Nabby ain't going nowhere.
Right.
So,
I mean, and Nabby has to be a number one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's certainly, I mean, if he has a no trade clause, I could certainly see, you know, if they say, oh, we want to trade you to Vancouver. I mean, why would he waive his no trade clause to go and be behind the Luongo?
No, and no one's going to pay that kind of money to have him sitting on his ass.
I know, but just hypothetically.
Yeah. No, he would never do that.
I know.
Now, I mean, there was the famous rumor 2 years ago of Nabby to L.A. for Frolov.
Dustin Brown, right?
Dustin Brown.
Yeah.
Now, that trade would look pretty damn good now.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
I know Rudy Kelly at Bala, California loves Frolov, but I've never seen that much out of him. I love Dustin Brown, though. Dustin Brown's great.
Yeah. So?
Yeah.
There's no way that Lombardi would make that offer now. Those are, you know, that's his captain, right?
Right.
And, you know, one of his top six wingers. No way, dude. But Doug Wilson said some interesting stuff in that article. He implied that he could make a phone call like that and clear salary cap space in one call.
Poof.
Poof.
He was gone.
So for those of us who are wondering, you know, either he's bluffing or he's got a bunch of things already laid out, and then he knows that the Islanders will take Milan Mihalik for a second round pick if push came to shove.
Right.
Now, I mean, that would be a terrible deal, but
right.
if he had to do it, he could do it. He probably could. Already got some, you know, low ball offers, dude. You know, there's very limited number of teams that could take that call.
Yeah, they take him and they say, hey, if you were going to give me a pick for Milan Mihalić, what would it be? And the guy says, second round pick, and you know it's, a late second round or early second round. And you say, okay, can I put that in my hip pocket? Maybe I'll take that later. And the guy says, sure. And then you say, okay. And maybe you're not happy with it, but, I mean, wouldn't that... I would be willing to give out those offers if I was a GM.
Sure.
If I was Garth Snow, even though I'm crazy, I would still do that. I mean, if someone offered me Milan Mihalić and I had to give him a mid to late second round pick for that, yeah, you can chew on that deal as long as you want
to. Islanders would look like geniuses if they pulled that off.
That's right.
So, you know, but also for Doug Wilson, he's probably, you know, putting a lot of feelers out there. But he made it pretty clear everything that we've already talked about, dude,
mm-hmm.
That interview.
It's true. Is it time for the new segment, dude?
Dude. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's do it.
Okay, here's the new segment. We're calling it Crazy Trade.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy trade.
Great production value in that clip, huh?
Dude, it's stellar.
It's good. Well, Crazy Trade means that we're going to try and come up with a crazy trade. Hopefully one that makes a little bit of sense. Not Alex Ovechkin for a fifth round pick, but, you know, something that... is something that's never been rumored before. Maybe tomorrow will be E1 or something, you know, because we're pulling this out of our ass. What can we say? We're looking for a possible trade partner for the Sharks. Maybe might solve some of our problems either with personnel or with salary cap. So, dude, what's your crazy trade?
Danny Heatley to the Sharks. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right, dude. Okay. All right. Here's my crazy trade.
Yeah.
The San Jose Sharks trade Milan Mihalić and Christian Ehrhoff to the Minnesota Wild for Josh Harding,
okay,
Antti Miettinen,
right,
and Cal Clutterbuck.
Dude, that is a crazy trade. They'll never give up that much. They love Cal Clutterbuck.
Dude, this is why I'm throwing this out there.
Josh Harding is good.
Dude, they signed... Wade Dublevitz.
Oh, forgive me.
Okay. All right. This is why I think maybe you might be able to.
Okay.
Mihalić, they need a dynamic player to play that kind of style.
I think he might be their Gabrick replacement.
He could. I mean, well, they've got Havlat. You know, they're going to be playing a more up-tempo style. They don't have that kind of roster right now. So you've got a defenseman who can really push the puck, and Ehrhoff, who signed for two more years, and you've got Mihalić, who signed forever.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly their new head coach is extremely familiar with both those players.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, all Doug Wilson wants are, you know, two really good third-line players.
Mm-hmm.
Solves a lot of problems. Now, Josh Harding, you know, maybe he's not in their plans anymore. Maybe they're looking to move him, and he's the type of goalie. He's good. He could push Nabby.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Nightly. And then if he's playing well, then see you later, Nabby. So, yeah, it is a crazy trade.
I think asking for Clutterbuck's a little bit of a reach, but I like the idea, dude. I like the sentiment.
Thank you.
Miettinen's a good player. I think some people thought that he should have maybe even been a Selke finalist last year. He had great numbers on the PK, so Miettinen would certainly solve a lot of the PK questions, and Harding is a great backup goaltender at great numbers with the Wild. I think he's close to like a 950 save percentage with the Wild. Like,
hey,
unbelievable.
Damn good. So, you know, food for thought, dude.
Food for thought.
Wild food for thought. Okay, dude, I'm ready for yours.
Dude, you almost gave away my crazy trade earlier in the show. You didn't even notice it. But it sort of dovetails in with that thing I was saying about you got to have the right mix of the kinds of contracts that you have.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for is a good player that is not getting paid what he's worth.
Okay.
And it's the Islanders. And you said the Islanders earlier.
All right.
I like Kyle Okposo.
Yes.
So I would give up value for Kyle Okposo. So you get two good NHL players, Mihalić, maybe Chychrun, maybe Ehrhoff, maybe Vlasic. You know, pick your guy that you need here. In return, you get Kyle Okposo and like a third round pick. So Sharks are giving up salary and they get a great young player who's making $1.6 million this year and next. It's probably going to be looking for a big payday in 2011, but that's when the Sharks have cap flexibility. This guy's a right winger who can step in right now and play big minutes on the power play for the Sharks. Kyle Okposo.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
I
don't think the Islanders would ever go for it.
I don't think they'd ever go for it, but dude,
it's
I like your style.
Thank you.
And I like the idea of what you're saying, which we both kind of went for a little bit, you know, the players are not making that much money, mm-hmm. you know, and they're guys who could come and have an immediate impact, kind of offset the balance of high price players. You know, the Sharks are in a little bit of, as we said, salary cap hell. So, you know, both, dude, not bad.
Not a bad start for Crazy Trade.
Well, I'm sure the listeners will let us know. Actually, dude, let's make it the new poll question.
Okay.
Which trade do you think
is dumber?
Is crazier?
Okay, crazier.
Which one's crazier?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Is it my Minnesota Wild and Sharks trade, or is it the Sharks Islanders trade?
Okay. I will post that. And if you have your own crazy trade to propose,
oh, send it in.
Questions at dudesonhockey.com is the
absolutely
email address.
Absolutely, dude. Hopefully next week, dude. We're going to have some sort of
I know.
You Sharks know, news to cling on to.
And this is where we would normally do the shootout, but do we even have any shootout news, dude?
Dude, we could talk really quickly about the NHL players not being encouraged to go to the on-ice activities.
But Joe Thornton said he was going to go.
Yeah, so great. I mean, you know, I'm glad our players, like, screw it.
Who cares? It's not like he's riding a motorcycle like Jeff Kent. I mean, he's a hockey player. He knows how to play hockey. It's not like they're going to be doing, like, full checking drills. I mean, Jesus. I mean, if he busts an ankle playing, you know, not even pickup hockey, then he could easily bust an ankle getting out of his $1 million car or whatever it would be. Or climbing the Swiss Alps with his new bride. Yodeling. He could break an ankle yodeling.
Pass me the hot chocolate.
Where's one of those huge horns that goes down the hill? Yeah.
Oh, my backpack is filled with cheese.
And watches and chocolate. Yeah. So, I don't know. Anything else, dude? Anything else on the wire?
No, dude. You know what? There's no other real news, dude. I mean, we could reach for some stuff, but
yeah,
nothing really exciting to talk about.
I think we might as well call it, dude. We'll be back again next week, though. It may be the summer months, but Dudes on Hockey is still going to go strong the entire summer. So send us your ideas and read our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we'll catch you again at Dudes on Hockey next week, same time, same place.
Crazy trade.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.